Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Early voting begins today in the New Jersey primary. It's a short voting season. Primary day itself is this Tuesday. We'll talk about what's on the ballot and what's at stake now with WNYC's Nancy Solomon, who, of course, among other things, hosts our Ask Governor Murphy call-in every month on the station. Hi, Nancy. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Brian.
First, give us a picture of what's on the ballot, because in many other places, this is an off year for elections.
Right. So it's the entire state legislature. So that's 120 seats. There are 40 districts, and every district has two assembly people and one state senator. And so you've got primaries for both the Democrats and the Republicans. So that's a lot of races. Even though they're combined into one district, it essentially is 240 races potentially going on at this moment, although not all of those races are actually have contestants.
Right. And in fact, you wrote and reported a story about there being many open seats in this New Jersey legislature and in this election year, but many of those do not have competitive races. Can you give us the lay of the land on that?
Right. Yes. So this is the first election since the every 10-year redistricting, which happened last year. And there are 26 incumbents in the legislature who are not running. That's about, and there are two incumbents who had their districts combined and are running against each other. So that's a lot of open seats that we don't usually see. It's at least double the usual amount. But in fact, what has happened is that there are very few competitive races, or even races that aren't even contested, or that are being contested, which is very strange given all the that you would expect to see. And this is what happens nationally around the country and other state legislatures: is when there are more open seats, there are more races that are contested. There were only 11 contested seats in the assembly and 9 in the Senate.
So what kinds of candidates does that empower or lock out? Because many people think perhaps, well, the Democrats in these Democratic districts will vote like Democrats, and the Republicans in Republican districts will vote like Republicans, even if they're being picked by the party leaders, not in competitive primaries. And we mostly know what it means in New Jersey to be a Democrat or Republican in the legislature. So why not that?
Well, for one thing, in the last 12 years, not a single incumbent has lost a seat in an election in New Jersey. That's compared to, I was told by Julia Sass Rubin, who's a Rutgers professor who studies the New Jersey balloting system. And she said that there are 12, during that same time period around the country, there were 1,200 incumbents who lost their seats in state legislatures in the last 12 years, and zero in New Jersey. So that is kind of like the little canary in the coal mine saying, something's a little wrong here. And I think really this all lands at the feet of the ballot and the county line, and how that the whole process of who gets onto the ballot and the placement on the ballot. It really all lies with that, which, of course, I can take you into a deep dive if you want to hear.
I think our listeners would be interested in hearing you wonk out a little bit on this idea of the county line. But let me get the phone number first. If anybody has a question, or for that matter, electioneering welcome here, shall we say, for any race in the New Jersey primary, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or text to that same number for our Nancy Solomon. Okay, Nancy, the county line. That sounds like it's something between Union and Middlesex, but it's not that, right?
No, and sometimes it's referred to as the line, and sometimes it's referred to as the party line, but most often the county line. And so this is how it works. Each county in New Jersey has a party organization for each party, Democrats and Republicans. The people in the county organizations, who are sometimes called the committee, are elected in the primary themselves. So you have, they're big, big organizations that are essentially democratic in the sense of who's elected to them. They're like two people per neighborhood, you know, down to these, they're called district leaders. And it goes really right down to, except in rural places, down to the neighborhood. And in all but two counties in the state, these organizations endorse candidates every time there's an election, and all the candidates from president down to dog catcher. And then the ballot is laid out based on these endorsements. So, and let me just say there are two counties that don't do this, but so then the endorsed candidates run on what's called the county line. And, it can be a row or a column, and it puts all the candidates together who are endorsed by the party. So you have the top of the ticket, which every 4 years is the presidential race. Every 4 years is the gubernatorial race on off years. There's U.S. senators, Congress members, whoever for that election happens to be at the top of the ticket, on down to the smallest, most local races. But they're all grouped together. Mm-hmm. And what that does is, it signals to voters, you know, here are the legit candidates. You might recognize the person at the top of the either the column or the beginning of the row. But all these other names that you don't recognize, well, they're part of our group. And these are the legit candidates. And then sometimes people are just running the reformers, the outsiders, the people who didn't get the endorsement from their party are on a line all alone. And so they, you don't have any context for them. If you're not, you know, if you're just sort of a regular voter, not really understanding what's going on, you see one person against 10 people.
Right. So the party establishment has tremendous control over whose name gets displayed on the ballot in this way that looks like they're the serious candidates.
Exactly. And some of that happens through a somewhat democratic process of a party committee or a convention, county committee convention. And some of that happens by the party bosses in the biggest, most powerful democratic strongholds in the state. The party bosses make the decision without any convention.
Does this come out in terms of issues? In any way, does New Jersey have a big set of disputes within the Democratic Party between those who are more centrist and those who are more progressive? Like I think it's fair to say New York has. We remember at the state legislature level just a few years ago, a number of Democrats in the state Senate were thrown out in primaries because they were members of a group called the IDC, a more centrist group, which helped the Republicans actually keep control of the New York State Senate, even though there were more Democrats in the Senate. And of course, you know, we know all the issues that from criminal justice reform to housing eviction protections, all these things that divide Democrats in the New York State Legislature. And it really matters who wins primaries in New York State. How about in New Jersey in those issue respects?
Yeah. So, and let me point out exactly the same as New York. It really matters in New Jersey who wins the primaries because the, you know, the redistricting of the districts has really left the state carved up into very safe seats. So whoever wins the primary is going to, except in a few places, is going to go on to win the general. I would say, you know, I learned this from Matt Katz, our colleague, a long time ago when he and I started working together. New Jersey politics are transactional, not ideological. You know, and I would say particularly when it comes to the Democratic Party, I think the Republicans have much more of an ideological fight going on between the MAGA Trumpists and the more moderate Republicans. But in the Democratic Party, it really comes down to the machines. The boss is controlling the machines, handing out patronage jobs, raising money by doing favors for big funders, and plowing that money into campaigns to be able to elect and reelect their anointed person year in and year out. So you don't see these ideological fights, although I will say I think it's a very effective tool for keeping reformers and outsiders unelected and out of the process. So I think we saw a wave of progressive reformers running primary challenges after the Trump election in 2017 and 2018, and they weren't able to beat the line. It's just they just weren't able to do it. So it's ideological in the sense that it keeps out new people, it keeps out reformers, it keeps out outsiders, but there's no real split ideologically in the party per se.
This is WNYC, FM, HD, and AM New York, WNJT, FM, 88.1 Trenton, WNJP, 88.5 Sussex, WNJY, 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO, 90.3 Toms River. We are New York and New Jersey Public Radio and live streaming at WNYC.org on the New Jersey side for a few more minutes with our Nancy Solomon on this first day of early voting in the New Jersey primary. Nancy, keep your that Chris Christie corner of your brain engaged and ready to go, because I'm going to ask you one Chris Christie for president question before we wrap up in a few minutes. But Chris in Bloomfield, you're on WNYC with Nancy. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Brian. Hi, Nancy. I just voted by mail last week, and every time I vote, you know, for New Jersey politicians, I'm voting blind. I have no idea who these people are. Everything was just a line vote. There was one candidate that was voting against listed against an incumbent. And when I looked him up, he's like a 20-year-old kid with no experience. And, you look on the Internet, you look on NJ.com. I mean, there's not even a website, nothing for these people. I could be voting for a child molester. I don't know who I'm voting for.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think there are two things going on, and one is just a real lack of engagement, because why would you engage in a process in which your vote really, like, there's nothing to vote for? There are so many districts, so many ballots that do not have contested elections. So, you know, Mercer County, Princeton, there's no one for people who live in Princeton, no one on the ballot. Very engaged Democratic strongholds like Princeton or Maplewood, South Orange, Newark, Irvington, huge Democratic stronghold, very little competition. You know, there was one contested race we could talk about in a minute about in that district. But so I think, you know, no competition, no debates. And then the other thing going on is, you know, New Jersey has basically turned into a news desert. I mean, there are just so few political reporters left. You know, the papers have really cannibalized themselves over, you know, when they've lost their economic underpinning with the internet. It's hard for people to engage and get information. And, you know, I think we get a legislature that is largely anointed and not elected.
Here's Chris, who says she used to be part of this process in one of the counties. Chris, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hello. Yeah, I used to be on the Democratic Committee in one of these counties, and I had to leave because it was so dirty, because even on a local level, it's pre-planned. And the people running things try to get people onto the Democratic Committee that are going to rubber stamp whatever they say. And when you get to the county level, it's all like a show. You know, they've got certain, you know, big politicians that came in to make a big speech and introduce the winner, and it's all pre-planned. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Yeah. The counties, it's been something on my to-do list for so long, and I just have not gotten to it yet. But the counties in New Jersey, they're little fiefdoms or big fiefdoms, and they have enormous budgets. They have so much money and from our property taxes, and they basically do, you know, apportion out that money and run the counties with very little oversight. So I hear you, and I think it's we have a lot of problems. I mean, we just have democracy is truly broken in New Jersey, and we need people to get engaged in these issues. I mean, here's another example. You have people who, before they've actually announced that they're running, the endorsements come pouring out from big name politicians in the state, the sort of well-known people. You know, like for the Hudson County executive race, Governor Phil Murphy endorsed the guy who's running before really he even announced his own campaign. And this happens over and over again. It happened with Rob Menendez, the son of Bob Menendez, running for his congressional seat. It's just incredible. Like, this endorsement process is, it's so powerful. And it basically has the, I don't know if the right word is a chilling effect, but it has the effect of having other legitimate candidates drop out or not run. Because if you going to run off the line, you're not going to win. So why would you spend all that time and money?
Remind me, is it four-year terms in both houses of the legislature?
Two.
Oh, two-year.
So we have a lot of these elections, but not a lot of changes.
Yeah. So are there any particular actually contested primaries today through next Tuesday that you've got your eye on?
Yeah, there are a few. So in South Jersey is one of the most interesting places because it has a few truly purple districts, unlike most of North Jersey and Central. So there are two districts in South Jersey where you have competitive races in both parties. The fourth district covers parts of Atlantic, Camden, and Gloucester counties. And there is a Gloucester County Commissioner, Nick DeSilvio, who's running for the state Senate. And he's got the backing. One of the other interesting dynamics in South Jersey, not just are these purple districts, but they're, because it's more rural, you have districts, legislative districts that cross multiple county lines. And so each county, of course, is run by the county party committee in terms of their endorsements. But when you've got a ballot where you've got a candidate who crosses these different county lines, there's actually can be more of a fight. So, for instance, you know, Gloucester County, the Republican Party in Gloucester County endorsed Nick DeSilvio, and so he has their backing, and he's running against a guy named Chris Del Borello, who has the backing in Atlantic and Camden counties. So you get an actual competitive race. DeSilvio also is sort of considered the MAGA candidate, and that can be a problem for Republicans come the general election in a purple district.
Right.
So everyone's watching that one. The third district is also super interesting, because this is the Republican Ed Durr is the incumbent senator, and he's the guy who defeated the most powerful man in the legislature 2 years ago, Steve Sweeney. He was a delivery driver who spent about $1,000 on his campaign. And basically caught Sweeney and the party asleep at the Democratic Party down there asleep at the wheel. And so Sweeney was the longest serving Senate president in New Jersey history and also like the top lieutenant of the whole George Norcross machine, which is basically the entire Democratic Party of South Jersey. And so anyway, Ed Durr, after, you know, being in office for a year and a half now, is facing a primary challenge from his former running mate, Beth Sawyer, who ran with him, got an assembly seat, and now she's challenging him for the Senate seat. So it's going to be interesting because, you know, whoever wins that race is really going to have a fight on their hands to keep it Republican and not go to the Democrat.
Is the balance of power in the legislature in play this November, do you think? Are the primaries important in that respect? It's been a Democratic legislature for a while now.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think that it's the road back to relevance for the Republican Party in New Jersey, though, is through South Jersey. If they can make gains there, and then they've got some other primary fights and some live elections in the rural western part of the states, particularly the northwestern part of the state. So, I mean, they're not going to lose Republican seats out there, but if they can build a Republican coalition and make some gains in South Jersey, you know, I think that that could be their road back. I don't think we're going to see
eventually.
It this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. The assembly is 45 Democrats, 34 Republicans, one seat's vacant. And the Senate is 25 Democrats, 15 Republicans.
So last question, Nancy, and I told you to save that Chris Christie corner of your brain for the end of the segment. He is expected to announce his candidacy for president of the United States, or at least the Republican nomination, next week. The polls I've seen, the national polls of Republican primary voters, have Christie at approximately a nice round number called zero. And I wonder if you think it's any different in New Jersey, or if Trump, who's leading in the national polls by far, would be much more popular than the former Republican governor in his home state.
Probably, but I don't know. It's kind of irrelevant because the road to the White House for Republicans doesn't run through New Jersey.
Well, there's a primary, but it's so late in the season. Is that why?
Yeah, it's late in the season, and it's not like a California with a huge number of votes. And I think, but ultimately, yes, we usually vote way too late in the process, June, in fact. It's hard. I think everybody, like the press corps and the coverage, everyone's sort of like shrugging their shoulders about this Christie candidacy. Like, how could he possibly think he's going to get anywhere? It doesn't seem like what he's presenting is anything different from what he tried against Donald Trump the first time around. So, and then he's got this problem where he, you know, that horrible press conference video that went viral when he announced his endorsement of Trump very early in the primary process. He was one of the first big Republicans who dropped.
Yeah.
Yes, in 2016, when he dropped out of the race after he lost New Hampshire, which he had staked his whole strategy on. He lost New Hampshire and then days later endorsed Trump. And he looked kind of like he was being held hostage because he was sort of darting his eyes and looking miserable. And then he supports Trump. And then he starts criticizing Trump and breaks from Trump at a certain point. He ends up getting COVID from a Trump event. It's been kind of a very sordid relationship at this point. But I don't see anything that has changed that is going to change the dynamic in the Republican primary between those two.
All right. Well, we will see what happens after Chris Christie presumably enters the Republican presidential primary race next week. Meanwhile, it is primary season in New Jersey right now for the legislature. Today starts early voting. Primary day is Tuesday. Nancy Solomon breaking it all down on Gothamist.com in print. And of course, here on the station on WNYC. Nancy, thanks as always.
Thanks, Brian.